Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Fairchem Organics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Jainkunia from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Nupur Jainkunia from Valorem Advisors. We represent the industrial relations of Fairchem Organics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Naush Dariwala, MD and Chairman, Mr. Rajan Zaveri, CFO of the company. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rajan Zaveri, sir, to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Nupur. And before I proceed, will you please tell how many participants have connected?
We have almost 35 participants.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Nupur, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2026. Let me first start off by giving you some of the key financial highlights. After this, our CMD, Sri Naush Bhai, will give you some of the operational highlights. For the quarter under review, the revenue from operations stood at INR 131 crores, which increased by 8.5% quarter-on-quarter and decreased 21% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was approximately 5 crore rupees, with EBITDA margin improving slightly to 3.97% from 3.64% in previous quarter. We reported a net profit after tax of approximately INR 1.2 crore for the quarter, and which doubled sequentially. This revenue growth from previous quarter was primarily driven by 7.5% growth in volumes, while margin improvement was on back of saving in power and fuel costs, which was partially offset by relatively higher raw material costs. Now I request our CMD, Sri Naush Bhai, to brief you on the operational highlights for the period under review.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me walk you through our performance for the first quarter of financial year 2026. The improvement in financial performance this quarter vis-a-vis the previous quarter was driven by improved volumes. On the raw material front, even after a partial rollback of additional customs duties, raw material prices remain largely firm due to the elevated global vegetable oil prices. Our diamine acid market segment continues to face pressure because of aggressive price competition from Chinese suppliers and no corresponding relief in raw material costs. The basic custom duty on imported diamond still remains at 7.5%. On a positive note, we remain confident about our value-added product, isostatic acid, and expect export volumes to increase gradually over the coming quarter. Our sales mix for the quarter was 92.5% towards domestic sales, while exports made up to around 7.5%. Operationally, we processed 11,699 metric tons and sold 13,662 metric tons of material during the quarter. In summary, we are seeing early signs of revival in the business, but due to higher raw material prices and continued dumping of products by China, the business environment continues to remain challenging. With that, I open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ PMS. Please proceed.
Yeah, sir, just wanted to understand, we've been struggling with this problem of dumping plus higher raw material costs because of several reasons for last so many quarters now. So is there any representation to the government, or is there anything that is going on where, I mean, some sort of respite can happen on the dumping side or maybe the raw material side? Anything that you would know, I mean, please share.
Yeah, the additional duty was levied in September, and we made the representation to government in November 2024 only.
Right. But I think as we are the only manufacturer of diamond fatty acid in India, maybe, I mean, being a single manufacturer, it might be, I mean, for
them also,
to take a call would be a tough thing.
Okay. So as of now, there is no hope of anything like that, basically.
No, not in short term. It doesn't look.
In other words, we haven't heard anything in response to our November 2024 application.
Okay. And on the raw material side, you said that the prices of raw materials were on a higher side. So what is the outlook on that now?
See, subsequently, end of May, government partially rolled back the duty, which was levied in September 24. In May, and government partly rolled back the duty. But during this intervening period of 6-7 months, what had happened? The global vegetable oil prices had remained high, and in India also the prices had remained high. So the after this partial rollback also, unfortunately, these prices of the raw material which we need, it did not decline. And the next season also is from November onwards only for this particular vegetable oil season in India. The year is considered to be November to October. You might be aware about that.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, outlook remains similar, is it, what we are suffering right now in terms of margins and...
Yeah.
For dimer acid, yes.
For dimer acid,
Mr. Ashish, for dimer acid, yes. Not for the company as a whole.
Okay, so what's the outlook for the company? I mean, volume growth, what was it, sir, this quarter, and what is the outlook, and then how are you looking at overall margins and profitability?
Instead of volume growth, we are quite optimistic about this value growth by way of higher sales of isostearic acid. Of course, it will have some volume growth also, but value growth could be substantial if things fall in line for isostearic acid.
So what are we expecting, sir, FY26, roughly? I mean, because so many things going on, isostearic acid being a new form for us, and that probably does well, and the current business is facing a problem. So how do we read FY26 to be overall? Because we
this year we expect it to remain competitive, because we are also selling our isostearic acid to US. Again, in that there is some duty, things are also coming. So yes, it is going to be a challenging year, but long term we are very confident about the business model. Long term, this is not a situation which is going to remain forever. Only thing is, we have to wait for the time. We have to, rather than taking any knee-jerk action, we have to remain calm
and remain in the business.
Right. Sir, and what's the kind of undercutting versus earlier price now? Just to have a reference, what kind of dumping is going on in terms of pricing discounts that were there earlier, and now what is the discount that is going on from the Chinese?
Briefly, I can tell you, about 24 months, the ruling dimer acid price was in the range of 1,80,000 per metric tons, and today it is less than 1,45,000 tons rupees per ton. From 1,80,000.
So we see a drop of around 20%.
Okay, okay. So you would be, I mean, that's an assumption that they would be selling at maybe break even or some sort of marginal.
Or maybe some kind of export incentive.
Or some type of export incentive they are getting.
China is a closed economy, na? So
we don't know. Whatever all the chemical companies are facing, we are facing the same music. In API also the way pharma companies are facing. So
right.
We are facing the same thing.
Sir, just a small request. In case there is a change in any of these drugs, we would appreciate if you could inform investors, maybe by a release on the exchange or maybe by a call.
Thank you, Mr. Rajesh.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Budhram Finance. Please proceed.
Sir, you said partial rollback of duty. So what is the duty right now?
It's 22.5%.
See, duty was
right.
before the additional levy of duty, basic duty was 5%. In September 24, government imposed additional 20% duty. So duty, basic duty became 25%. And then there was a 10% surcharge, so basic duty became 27.5%. Out of that, government has partially rolled back, that is basic custom duty has been reduced by 10%, so with surcharge it is reduced by 11%. So 27.5% has now become 16.5% vis-a-vis 5.5% which was there. So net impact of 11% still remains.
Okay, sir. And sir, The basic construct remains the same. DA is around 25% and leonic acid is around 43%. That remains same or that also has changed the mix?
No, our product means our sales value in terms of sales in terms of value for our prime 3 product continues to be between 70 and 75%.
Sorry, sir. I did not get that. Between?
Sales of our 3 prime products. Now 3 prime products are dimer acid, linoleic acid and isostearic acid. Out of the total sales, the share of these 3 products put together continues to be between 70 and 75% since last many quarters. See, internally it may undergo change. In particular quarter, dimer acid may be slightly higher and another may be lower. But by and large, the ratio would be between 70 and 75%.
So, sir, if I exclude the dimer acid, which is still seeing some issues, linic acid and isostearic acid will see what growth rate, sir? Any sense can you give us?
See, dimer acid continues to enjoy an important thing. It is close to 25%, sir. So we cannot exclude dimer acid. No? Out of 70,
and we would like to remain in business of dimer fatty acid.
And as in always earlier said, that things
no,
are
I get
not
that. I'm saying. Apart from dimer acid, sir, the two other chemicals are leonic acid and isostearic acid. So my question is, what is the growth outlook for those two segments?
Isostearic acid growth outlook looks very, very promising. Because we are the third company, only now, there were 4 companies. We have heard that one of the companies has stopped manufacturing. So now there are just 3 companies manufacturing isostearic in the world. So we are very hopeful.
Linic acid?
Linoleic acid is presently around 40% of our total sales. And
it will remain like that.
It will maintain
at that level.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclic Investment. Please proceed.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how much is our current capacity of this isostearic acid and what is the global demand currently for this product?
there are no data available about the exact demand of, but one can say easily that based on the tentative information what we have collected from the companies from whom we are negotiating or where our material is under approval, we, our capacity would be hardly 10 or 15% of total demand.
Got it. And sir, who would be the other three companies that are manufacturing this product globally?
One is Cargill and a company called Oleon.
Cargill is based in USA and Oleon is based in Europe.
Got it. Sir, we were also planning to use some alternative raw material other than the vegetable oil byproduct for us to have better spreads going forward. So, any progress on that?
Yes, positive progress is happening on that. Positive progress is happening. Maybe we might if everything goes well. Initial trial runs have been fairly successful, but we'll take some time. Afterwards, we'll decide to change after due consideration.
Got it. Sir, based on our current volumes that we did, I think we are operating. Sir, what would be our capacity utilization and what could be the revenue potential at the current prices for our current capacity?
At this revenue level, we were operating at around 70% capacity and we achieved this revenue. So there is a further upside of reaching up to 100%. At
70%
capacity operation,
Got it. 70% capacity utilization, 100 crore levels.
Yeah.
Sir, okay, got it. Sir, that was from my end, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from Exemplar Investments. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. Can I have a separate value-wise figure of linoleic, dimer, and isoxerenic for the quarter?
I told you, linoleic acid is approximately 40% of our total sales. Dimer acid is nearly 25%. And isoxerenic acid is approximately 7% or so.
10%. Hello.
Yeah.
Your voice is. Hello.
Linoleic acid is approximately 40% of our total sales. Dimer acid is around 24-25%, and isoxerenic acid is around 6-7%.
And my next question was more of a strategic one. Since last more than almost 2.5 years, we are facing difficult time in our core business. And the mitigatory steps that we have been taking in the form of launch of isoxerenic acid and working on new raw materials is progressing with a very slow pace vis-a-vis the pace of margin pressure and slowdown which we are facing in our core business. So my key question was, Mr. Seth, as our key promoter, isn't it the right time to have some inorganic moves to accelerate our pace of growth and ease our margin pressure, as we can clearly see our key products like linoleic and dimer are becoming more of commoditized products.
Mr. Shah, your voice was breaking, so we were not able to hear you perfectly, but what we have understood and on the basis of that, what clarification we want to make is that at even a 70% capacity also, since isoxerenic acid is a value-added product, if we can sell more isoxerenic acid by operating the same level of raw material processing, our top line can still increase. At 70% only, but if you can reach 100%, it will have a further potential of increasing the top line.
This is the production of dimer also, right? Dimer acid also. And in that, you are facing margin pressure.
Yeah, dimer acid, we will continue to face the pricing pressure. But simultaneously, if our isoxerenic acid sale improves, we will be able to take that challenge.
Okay, got it. And this you said regarding new raw materials. So by when can we expect some concrete clarity regarding that?
that whether it is successful or not?
November, maybe November.
By November.
Yeah.
Okay. And regarding that separate tocopherol and sterol stream, which was talked about before 3 years, so that project is now completely off?
Yeah. At this stage, completely off, because we were supplying it to U.S.
Okay, got it, got it. And right now, what is our exposure to U.S.?
For this quarter, it was less than 2% in terms of value. April
and, last year?
Last year was also around 3%.
Because we just started the isosteric export, no?
Okay, so we are not that much affected by this tariffs and all, right?
Yeah, future business would have got. I mean,
future business can get affected. As far as the past is concerned, we would not have got affected because our volumes were. But what we were exploring, what we were planning, what we had already planned, that may get impacted.
For isosteric, right?
Yes.
But for isosteric, Europe market is larger or US market, as per your the way your clientels are.
You need to remember one thing, that for any product, USA is one of the largest market. Any product you take in the world.
Oh,
and same is the case for...
By virtue of their sheer population...
Yeah, and then buying, I mean, for any and every product. So we cannot depend on European market alone.
Okay, no, vis-a-vis our capacity which is there... So, are we prepared to sell our capacity, say 70%, 80% of isosteric to Europe if US tariffs don't change or anything?
No. It cannot happen.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you. And all
thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Perpetual Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm new to the company, so pardon me for some basic questions. Can you mention your capacity for each of these three main products, dimer acid, linoleic acid, and isostearic acid?
See, in our case is like that of a petroleum refinery. So our capacity is measured in terms of throughput of raw material, because from a single raw material, we are deriving multiple finished products, and that too, because it's a natural product, that ratio may slightly differ also. So based on that, our raw material throughput capacity, installed capacity as of now is 120,000 metric tons per annum, out of which 40,000 tons per annum we have earmarked for a new set of raw material and new set of finished products for which developmental work is going on. For the balance 80,000 metric tons of raw material throughput, from that we can derive multiple products, and out of that we can derive dimer acid also, we can derive linoleic acid also, and from a valuable product we can make isostearic acid also.
Okay, and is the manufacturing of isostearic acid linked to the making of linoleic acid in some way? Is this a byproduct of linoleic acid?
Isostearic acid is not the byproduct of linoleic acid. Isostearic acid is made from monobasic acid, and monobasic acid and dimer acid we are simultaneously getting if we further process oligolinoleic acid.
Okay, so basically to get more of isostearic acid, you will also have to manufacture more of dimer acid, because
More of dimer acid would accompany that.
Okay.
So that is why we want to remain in the business of dimer acid also.
Okay. And anything particularly on isostearic acid, what is the current capacity that you've set up?
Capacity, as you know, we said that we will be approximately 10 to 15% of our total world estimated demand. And it can translate into some.
Okay. And for the... at what tariff rate does it make sense for you to target that market?
What direct?
At what tariff rate for US tariff does it still make sense?
Anyone would love zero tariff.
that's
of course. I mean, what I meant is
Terry from Europe to USA is 15%. Yes, and for India it's 50%.
So it's
35%, 36%
difference. It's too big a difference.
So like you mentioned, so Cargill is an American company. I'm assuming they have some plant in
Europe. No, both the plants are in Europe. In US, no, none of the isostatic plants are there. Cargill has plant in Europe. And Oleon also is in Europe.
Okay, and in terms of cost advantage, anything on that, like how...
Obviously, our manufacturing cost is low.
But 36% is too big a difference.
35% is too big a difference.
Got it. And any other large project or product in the pipeline that can be a larger part of the...
product. Yeah, we are working on the new product. For which we have earmarked 40,000 tons capacity, but that will take some time.
I mentioned about that earmarking of 40,000 tons of capacity, you know, for new raw material and new set of products.
Right.
We are working on that.
It is again
export market potential only, and very good set of products.
It would make more sense for us to stabilize the current set, current production issues. That would make more sense.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. I'll stay in touch.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Ragi from Counter Cyclic Investments. Please proceed.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, what is the current price of linoleic acid and what it was like? You mentioned that 1.8 lakh was for dimer acid 2 years back. So, at a similar timeline, what it was?
Certain things
are business secrets, and dimer acid is concerned, we are the only manufacturer. You have to understand one thing. And as far as linoleic acid is concerned, we are not the only manufacturer. There are other manufacturers
who are making products which is inferior to our linoleic.
And some of them may be already on this earning call line.
We won't like to share.
So it is in the interest of the shareholders only that we do not disclose all the information.
Got it, sir. No problem. Sir, next question was, sir, I'm just like doing a back of the envelope calculation. Sir, with our current capacity and the current product mix not changing to higher isotieric or any value-added product, sir, is it fair to assume that you could easily do 1,200 to 1,300 crore revenue from just processing the 1.2 lakh metric ton of capacity that we have?
At 1.2 lakh tons of capacity, what could be our possible top line? That is what you are trying to ask.
Yes, sir.
Possible. Whatever figure you said is theoretically it is possible.
Got it. And sir, a sub portion, sir, since our capacity should be more thought like a crude oil refining. So should we think from our EBITDA margin perspective or EBITDA per ton perspective? For our business?
See, things will keep on changing. From a
all these discussions is happening because the government of India increased duty on vegetable oil from 5.5% to 27.5%. And dimer import duty on dimer was 7.5%. So there is a differential on raw material what we are procuring, 22.5%. So, I mean, we are working on it. It was something which came from, sudden impact which came to us. So, I mean, for any company to take a sudden impact of 22.5% hike in raw material.
Overnight,
It's going to take some time for it to recover and stabilize things. It's not going to happen.
Sir, I understand where like the government impact. I'm just trying to understand for a business perspective, is EBITDA per ton a correct way to think based on the raw material we process, or EBITDA margin would be a fair way to think about our business?
EBITDA margin as a percentage to sales would be the fair thing.
Got it. Sir, so on a steady state basis, what kind of EBITDA margin we should expect based on the current product mix and like going over the next 2 to 3 years as the value?
It depends on what is the duty government of India keeps on vegetable oils. Before we were operating, when duty was on, our EBITDA margins were in range of 15% to 17%.
Got it.
To around 4%. So I mean, how can we predict? How can we predict when something which is government of India is taking decision for the betterment of Indian farmers? So they are increasing duty. Yeah. So for these are things which it won't be possible for me to answer at this stage. I would love 5.5% duty. And start making money like before and have a peace of mind.
Sir, even we would love that kind of duty. Sir, just a final question from my end. Sir, considering there is a similar 5.5% duty and the 15% to 17% EBITDA margin with isotric acid portion increasing in our revenue, sir, can we expect this margin to move towards 20% plus just by increasing isotric acid share?
No. The isostatic acid cannot take the margin from 4% to 20% at a company level.
No, sir, not on a company level. I'm just trying to understand on a steady state basis, can it additionally add 3-4,
It has to be a gradual thing.
Let's wait for the duty to come down, then we'll look at all those things.
Got it, sir. Sir, thank you so much. I appreciate you answering my question. Sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Vakaria from Budhini Finance. Please proceed.
Sir, in line with the previous question, sir, this 10% that rollback you are saying, maintaining the status quo, sir, this 3.97 EBITDA margin that is there, which you have clocked in current quarter, this can improve to what level, sir?
No, this had already come into impact in the end of May. We say that it has not resulted into any decline in the raw material price, so it has not affected anything positively.
Okay. And sir, how do you see the global vegetable prices? What's your outlook on it? Do you think that this should still firm up or this is should remain here?
They should remain like this. That's
with war like situations in oil-producing countries, etc., this Ukraine, Russia on war since last more than nearly 3.5 years, etc. So these things are going to weigh in on oil prices. And India is predominantly dependent on imported. I think even in today's date also, India imports perhaps 40 to 50% of its vegetable oil requirement through palm, soya and sunflower.
And sir, procuring it from, say, Indonesia or Malaysia or Brazil or Argentina?
No, it won't be viable.
Viable option or you think sunflower oil is still required and so your dependence
importing? No, because of the freight component, it's not viable to import byproducts.
We are taking byproduct of these refineries, so freight will be the prohibiting factor for direct import. Our byproduct cannot be imported also, and whatever byproduct is generated in India, those refineries cannot export it also on the same consideration of freight prohibiting factor. So whatever is produced in India is to be sold in India, and whatever is produced abroad cannot be brought into India as far as these byproducts are concerned.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Meera, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. In the previous con call, you had mentioned that you are working on a new raw material which would help us reduce the dependence on imports. So have we got any update for that from that side?
Yeah. We have initial trial runs have been positive, and after some more runs, we'll
go it on, we'll decide to go on commercial or not. So maybe by November we'll be through with the whole thing.
Okay, so that can help us like get back on track, right? So to
yeah,
get the
yeah,
margins
yeah,
in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are like fully confident we'll be able to do that by November, right? Like which is Q3 something.
Initial,
then,
based on the initial trial runs, we are confident.
Entire Q3 might not be having that positive because it could be somewhere in November, but the initial results are encouraging, so we are quite optimistic about that.
Okay, great. So will we be able to like fully source it from domestic sources?
Yes.
Okay, that would be really good. And so just wanted to know that in the previous con call you had mentioned that you got some 16 approvals from customer side for isoduric acid. Right. So have we got some new approvals in this quarter?
Yeah, Couple of more have been added.
But
okay.
Even in those also, what will happen, they will take the first shipment and then again wait.
Because basically it goes in cosmetics, so their application taste and everything is...
The cycle is only like that.
It's taking pretty long. Much more than what we initially expected. Or much more than what initially they had suggested that they'll take 3 to 6 months. Maybe they're taking a little bit long. And the chances are that we being an Indian company coming for the first time in market, only two other companies doing... it takes time for them to build a trust in us.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. So, and we are exporting isoduric acid to like which countries in which regions? Is it only Western or
many more than already shipments have happened to more than
seven, eight countries.
Seven. Okay. And can you tell us the volume for isoduric acid in like in the past three quarters, like this quarter, previous quarter, and
It's slowly picking up. It's going to take its own time. But once it picks up approval, it's going to happen in such a way that simultaneously approvals are going to be there from all the buyers.
Okay. And these products are going to like all the large cosmetic companies or like you've just started with smaller companies first and then we'll move on to large.
It's not direct. Any large companies don't buy it directly. It's
right.
One of the ingredients to make cosmetics. It's one of the ingredients. So it is being supplied to ingredient manufacturers.
Okay. And also we had like filed with the government for that custom duty thing to reduce it. So have we got any update from that side? Something?
No.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nishant Bhatt from Equity Works Limited. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask the management that if the custom duty, you know, if let's assume that, you know, there is no change happens in this custom duty, if that is the scenario, what can be the, you know, future margin profile of the company based on the current situation and the incremental revenues that will come from the isoteric acid?
Mr. Bhatt, in the previous speakers in a response only, Naozbhai said that we are working on that alternative raw material and it is likely to be initial results are encouraging and by November we may perhaps partly switch over to that. So that is the positive sign to address this duty issue.
Okay. Sorry about that. Actually, I joined quite late. And regarding this isoteric acid, when can we expect revenue bump up? Because I think you mentioned that gradually that revenue should start to scale up, right?
We to expect it yesterday only that to happen. But unfortunately, as we said, that either because it is an Indian company, Because see, presently only European company or an American company are making these, and they have in the world that kind of reputation. So when for the first time when these people, these users of isocyanic acid, when they came to know that an Indian company has made these isocyanic acid, they were quite surprised, and they came to check that whether you have really made the isocyanic acid and that too in-house. So that perhaps is maybe taking little longer, and they are completing that process of our isocyanic acid going into ingredient manufacturing.
Validation process is taking little bit longer.
Got it.
And so in we cannot pressurize, and I mean whenever we ask that, yeah, it will come. It maybe give us month or two. I mean, so based on that, we also think and speak like that. But actually, yes, as I said, whenever it's going to happen, it will happen. A team, complete team is working 24/7 on it, because it's our absolutely, I mean, for us,
star product.
And we are, our team is absolutely working on it. So we are trying our best.
No, I understand that. And congratulations, you know, for developing such a product in India. And that tells a lot about the R&D team, of your R&D team. And I wish that you come up with such new products and make India proud as well, and the investors, right? So getting to the validation part, usually this, for example, if you are sending this isoteric acid to some company for that validation, let us assume, a conservative scenario, usually how much time does it take for this validation to complete? Is it 6 months, 9 months, 1 year? What is the time frame usually when you are sending such batches to a company which wants to test your product first?
When we talk to them, from there to they doing search about us on the internet, they coming and visiting us or having couple of Zoom meetings, then the sample permission is given to send the samples, then the sample approval, then lots of other paperwork are required to be done, then sending a bulk supply, then the validation happening with the product and stability, then it going to the actual consumers, and then finally it's coming. So, I mean, for every company, it's a different thing. So, I mean, it's taking its own time. One has to take it in a positive way, because then once this thing happens, some other company, it comes, then it will also require this long time. So, and we are lucky that when there are no, very few manufacturers are there, we are taking an entry. So it's going to be a good thing for us for long term. It's going to be a long term business.
So clearly there is a very high entry barrier over here.
Yeah, and if entry would have been easy, then any Tom, Dick and Harry could have come.
Got it. That's from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Mirav, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. So, as you mentioned in the previous question, that the cost, the new raw material which we are able to source on the domestic sources would be ready by around November. So, the cost range for that raw material is at par with the previous cost level, or would it be higher or lower?
Lower.
Okay. So, if isoteric acid also picks up the pace and we get like lower cost level from the new raw material domestic source. So can we like expect 8 to 10% EBITDA margins for the next year, like FY27?
I mean,
see, this US duty issue has to settle first of all.
Sir, lots of sectors are going on right now. Really giving
at 51% duty.
So many things are going right now.
Difficult to predict anything.
Okay. Okay, sure. No
problem. Any chemical industry. I mean, they are going to say the same thing.
Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors, Mumbai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Faircam Organics Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect the line.